Today's story is The Fabulous Genie, the story of Aladdin and his magic lamp. It's taken from the Orchard Book of Swords, Sorcerers and Superheroes by Tony Bradman and Tony Ross. Long ago in China, a cheeky young scamp called Aladdin lived with his widowed mother. His father had died when Aladdin was just a small boy, leaving them no money. So Aladdin's mother had to work hard day and night, sewing, cleaning, taking in washing, doing anything to keep a roof over their heads. Even so, they never ever had enough money, and there were often days when they went hungry. And it has to be said that Aladdin didn't do much to help, although he was always happy and smiling. His mother loved her cheeky son, but she worried about Aladdin. She worried about him a lot. "What's to become of you when I'm dead and in my grave?" she would wail. "If only you get a job and find some way of making yourself a living." "Stop nagging, mother," Aladdin would reply. A job was the last thing he wanted, for heaven's sake. Something will come up. You'll wait and see." And amazingly enough, something did turn up, or rather, somebody. One day, Aladdin was in the market square of his hometown. He had a busy morning playing practical jokes on the traders and helping himself to their wares, when suddenly he felt a tap on his shoulder. He turned around, and there before him was a man wearing a silk turban and an expensive-looking cloak. The man's deep, dark eyes stared straight at Aladdin, but he was smiling. "Ah, Aladdin, at last I've found you," said the man. "I am your Uncle Hassan, long-lost brother of your poor dead father. May his soul rest in peace."
"Uncle," said a surprised Aladdin, "you don't look like the kind of person who might be part of my family. Besides, I don't think I've even got any uncles."
"That's my fault, I suppose," said Hassan. I left the country long before you were born, before your father met your mother, in fact. I should have written, kept in touch a bit more, but anyway, I'm here now. So why don't you take me home to meet your mother? She is still alive, isn't she?"
Yes, she is," said Aladdin, a little unsure about Hassan.
But then he decided the man seemed genuine enough. Besides, Aladdin was excited by the idea that he might be related to someone who was obviously so wealthy. So Aladdin took Hassan to his house and introduced him to his mother.
"Uncle?" she said suspiciously. "Your father never mentioned a brother. Oh, Aladdin, how many times have I told you not to speak to strangers?"
"Oh dear, I can see I'm going to have to work a little harder at persuading you both," said Hassan.
He got out a purse which was fat with coins and held it up in front of them.
"I know, why don't we talk over dinner? Here, Aladdin, take some money, go to the market and buy us plenty of lamb and rice."
Hassan paid for a sumptuous meal and told them about his life while they ate. He said that he and Aladdin's father had been very close, but Hassan had wanted to travel abroad. He thought Aladdin's father had missed him so much he hadn't spoken his name again for fear of breaking down with grief. Hassan also said he'd done well abroad and was now a rich merchant, but had always wanted to return to China to be reunited with his brother. He had made some inquiries as soon as he'd arrived, and had almost been overcome with grief himself when he discovered that his beloved brother had died. By the end of the meal, Aladdin's mother was totally convinced. And suddenly life was very, very different for them. The next day, their newfound wealthy relative bought them more food and some expensive clothes and paid a year's rent on the house. Then Hassan announced that he would solve their problems forever by setting Aladdin up as a merchant.
Said Aladdin's mother, "This is the answer to my prayers."
"Well, we might as well get started immediately," said Hassan. "I'll take you on a trading trip with me, Aladdin, and show you how to make some money."
Hassan bought two camels, and he and Aladdin set off that same morning. Hassan led the way and Aladdin followed him, his mother waving goodbye.
"Now you listen and learn, Aladdin," she called out, "and make sure you behave."
Aladdin rolled his eyes and waved back without looking round, but he had every intention of doing as his mother had said. He was keen to make the most of this opportunity and was quite nervous, which is why he kept up a stream of cheeky chatter as he and Hassan rode out of the city and into the desert. But Hassan was strangely quiet, which only made Aladdin more anxious. Eventually, they arrived at a lonely place. Hassan dismounted from his camel, and Aladdin did the same. Then Hassan walked around, head down, searching the ground with his eyes, while Aladdin waited, confused. After a few moments, Hassan seemed to find what he was looking for and came over to Aladdin.
"I don't understand, Uncle," said Aladdin.
"Why have we stopped here?"
"Be quiet, you impudent young wretch," Hassan snarled, and gave Aladdin such a hard, vicious clout on the side of the head that the poor boy saw stars.
"Ow! What was that for?" Aladdin yelled, shocked by this sudden change.
"For being so irritating," Hassan hissed. "You've been driving me mad with your idiotic chatter, and it was a warning too. Actually, I'm delighted to say I'm not your uncle, you sorry excuse for a human being, but I could definitely be your worst nightmare if you don't do exactly as I say."
"Well, who are you then?" said Aladdin, massaging his throbbing ear.
"I am, in fact, a Moorish sorcerer," said Hassan, "and through my dark arts I have discovered the whereabouts of a secret treasure cave. It's here, right beneath our feet."
Hassan swept some sand aside and revealed a square stone slab with a large metal handle in its centre.
"I also discovered that only a boy called Aladdin could go into the cave."
"Why does it have to be me?" said Aladdin, puzzled. "Or aren't you a good enough sorcerer to know all the answers?"
"Silence, you vile worm," Hassan snapped. "That's just the way it happens with magic things. Believe me, I wish it was different. It took a long time to find you, and getting your mother to believe me cost a lot of money. But it will all be worth it in the end. Now open that door and be quick about it."
Aladdin's mind reeled as he tried to take in what he had been hearing. But despite his confusion and his painful ear, he was still curious. A treasured cave below his feet? So he grabbed the metal handle and pulled, and a slab swung open, revealing a flight of steps leading down into pitch darkness. A musty, dusty smell wafted out, followed by a couple of squeaking bats.
"Right, down you go," said Hassan, his eyes gleaming.
I'd rather not," Aladdin said.
The darkness under the smell and the bats had put him off, and he wasn't so curious now. But Hassan whipped out a dagger and held it to his throat.
All right, I'll do it then," Aladdin said.
"Very wise," said Hassan, smiling at him unpleasantly. "All I want is a certain lamp. You'll know which one I mean the instant you see it."
Aladdin descended the steps, his heart thudding in his chest. At the bottom, he found an old torch and he lit it with a spark from the tinderbox he always carried. He held the torch aloft and gasped with wonder. Before him was a huge cavern, the flickering torchlight barely reaching its far side. The light glinted off the heaps of gold and jewels that covered the floor. There were diamonds and rubies and emeralds and an ocean of gold coins, more treasure than even the Sultan himself could possess. And in the middle of the cave was a marble plinth bearing a small lamp.
"That must be the one," Aladdin thought.
He picked it up and was surprised to see it was an ordinary oil lamp, quite tarnished and nothing special at all. Aladdin shrugged and started making his way back. He stopped here and there to sift through the heaps of treasure, stuffing his pockets with sapphires and pearls and coins, finding among other things a ring he liked the look of. It bore a huge diamond that glittered beautifully in the torchlight. Aladdin stared into its strange depths for a moment, then slipped it onto his finger. Eventually, Aladdin was standing at the bottom of the steps once more.
"At last," said Hassan, staring at the lamp.
"Right, up you come."
No, actually, I don't think I will," said Aladdin, fearing what Hassan might do once he had the lamp in his possession.
I'm happy where I am."
Hassan tried being nice. Hassan begged and pleaded and wheedled and threatened, but Aladdin wouldn't move, and there was nothing Hassan could do. Suddenly, it was all too much for Hassan. The long journey, the cheeky chatter, the frustration, he'd had enough of the whole thing. Hassan lost his temper.
"Very well, stay there," he roared, and kicked the stone slab shut.
Hassan turned round and stomped away, then climbed on his camel and rode off. and he didn't stop muttering furiously about China and caves and cheeky boys until he arrived back home in Morocco several months later. But Aladdin was stuck in the cave. The stone slab was shut fast, and no matter how he heaved and pushed, Aladdin just couldn't shift it. He shouted himself hoarse, but he soon realised he'd been left to die. His torch went out, and he couldn't get it alight again. He sat in the darkness, sobbing, calling for his mother, wringing his hands, accidentally rubbing the diamond ring as he did so. Suddenly, a stream of smoke shot out of the ring, strange, glowing blue smoke that had spun itself into a spiral. It whirled and curled and sparkled and gleamed and gradually seemed to grow more solid until a tall, blue, muscular figure stood before Aladdin, his turbaned head bowed low. Then the figure lifted his head and Aladdin saw a pair of piercing blue eyes staring at him.
"Whoa," said Aladdin, scrambling backwards. "Who, what are you?"
"I am the genie of the ring," the figure boomed. "What is your desire, master?"
Aladdin thought this genie might be telling the truth. After all, he had appeared as if by magic. And then Aladdin realised that he might have been given a way of saving himself from slowly starving to death in the dark cave.
"All right then," he said and crossed his fingers. "Get me out of here."
There was a bright blue flash and Aladdin found himself outside, safe and sound, the genie spiralling back into the ring. Aladdin was relieved. He danced around happily, then leapt on his camel and rode home to tell his mother what had happened. But she didn't believe his wild story of an uncle who wasn't an uncle but a sorcerer, of genies and treasure, and thought he'd probably just upset Hassan and lost his chance of becoming a rich merchant. Then when Aladdin showed her the jewels and coins that he'd stuffed in his pockets, she wailed and said he must have stolen them from someone.
"And what's that you've got there?" she said crossly, pointing at the lamp.
"Oh, only an old lamp," said Aladdin, idly rubbing it. A stream of smoke shot out of its spout, a strange, glowing red smoke that spun itself into a spiral. It whirled and curled and sparkled and gleamed and gradually seemed to grow more solid, until a tall, red, muscular figure stood before them, his turbaned head bowed low. But this genie was much bigger than the other. It raised its huge head and stared at Aladdin with its piercing eyes.
"I am the genie of the lamp," the figure boomed. "What is your desire, master?"
"Wow, another one," said Aladdin, amazed.
"This is getting better all the time. You see, mother, I was telling the truth."
"Oh, bless my soul," she said. "You were too."
And then she fainted. She came round after a while, and by then Aladdin had discovered that the genie of the lamp could give them more or less whatever they wanted. For a while, Aladdin just had fun, ordering the genie to bring them even more sumptuous meals than the one Hassan had paid for, the kind of food the Sultan himself might eat, and wonderful clothes and gorgeous jewels and perfumes for his mother. Then Aladdin paused and thought. He would have to be more careful, he realised. A sudden change from poverty to wealth was bound to attract attention, and if anyone found out about his fabulous lamp, they might try to steal it. And that would be the end of their good fortune. Aladdin decided to keep the lamp a secret and use it sparingly. So he set himself up as a market trader, and then he became a merchant after all, and within a few years he was the richest man in the city. And not long after that, he married the beautiful Yasmin, daughter of the Sultan. They lived in a marvellous palace and were blissfully happy. Aladdin loved Yasmin, and Yasmin loved her husband, and she thought he was a wonderful man, although there was one odd thing about him. He had an old, tarnished, battered lamp that he kept in a cupboard in their bedroom. He seemed to be very attached to it, but he'd just never explain why. At any rate, things were perfect for the young couple. Yasmin even got on with her mother-in-law, who lived with them in their palace, and that's the way they probably would have stayed, if it hadn't been for Hassan. The Moorish sorcerer had almost forgotten his experiences in China, but then one day he decided to check up on what Aladdin was doing. He cast a few magic spells, peered into his crystal ball, and was stunned to see that the cheeky young scamp's fortune seemed to have changed completely.
"He must have taken the lamp for himself," Hassan hissed furiously.
Within a few weeks, Hassan was back in Aladdin's hometown. He knew through his dark arts that the lamp was hidden somewhere secret, and he devised a cunning plan to get his hands on it. He disguised himself as an old man, a seller of lamps, and went to Aladdin's palace one morning when Aladdin was out.
"New lamps for old," Hassan shouted at the gate. "New lamps for old."
Aladdin's mother didn't hear him, but Yasmin did, and remembered that old lamp in the cupboard. What a nice surprise for Aladdin it would be to find a new lamp in its place, she thought. So she took it out to Hassan at the gate. He gave her a new lamp, then quickly hurried away with the old one. He knew all about the genie in it, and the power the genie could give him.
"At long last," Hassan cried as he rubbed the lamp, the genie appeared, with all the usual magical special effects, of course. "Genie, take me straight back to Morocco," Hassan said. "Oh, and bring Aladdin's palace too."
"Your wish is my command," said the genie, and obeyed Hassan's bidding, whirling him and the palace off in a towering cloud of red smoke. Yasmin was inside it, and so, unluckily for her, was Aladdin's mother. Aladdin returned later to discover a very nasty surprise, a huge hole where his palace should have been. He was horrified and worried about his wife and mother, but no one could tell him what had happened. Aladdin had his suspicions and remembered that he also had a way of finding out for sure. He had kept a certain diamond ring for just this kind of emergency. He rubbed it, and soon the genie of the ring was standing before him. The genie told Aladdin about Hassan's trick and how the genie of the lamp had taken the palace and Yasmin and Aladdin's mother to Morocco. But the genie of the ring wasn't powerful enough to bring them and the palace back.
"Right then," Aladdin said grimly. "I'll have to sort this out myself."
So Aladdin got the genie of the ring to take him to Morocco. The genie of the lamp had dumped Aladdin's palace by the sea, and Aladdin crept inside, keeping an eye out for Hassan. But the sorcerer didn't appear, and Aladdin soon found Yasmin and his mother. They were so glad to see him.
"Oh, Aladdin," Yasmin wailed, "you must save me from that horrible old man. He says I have to forget about you and agree to be his wife instead."
But Aladdin was cleverer than Hassan, and he quickly came up with a plan to deal with the sorcerer once and for all. Some say he got Yasmin to give Hassan a poisoned drink. Others claim that Aladdin hid behind a curtain, then jumped out on the unsuspecting sorcerer and stabbed him. But the truth is funnier. Aladdin told the genie of the ring to shrink Hassan to the size of a mouse, then seal him in a magic bottle with a tiny replica of Aladdin himself. And that's where Hassan is to this day, trapped inside forever, listening to an endless stream of cheeky chatter and jokes, and unable to do anything about it. Aladdin found his fabulous lamp and told the genie to whisk them home in the palace. And that's pretty much the end of the story, except to say that Aladdin and Yasmin had many fine children and lived happily ever after. Oh, and Aladdin's mother lived for a long time too, and never had to work again, so she was very grateful to her son. Although every once in a while, she would still look at him and say, "I still think you should have had a proper job." But then you can never satisfy some people, can you?